Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You gotta be Picasso, you gotta be P. Diddy, you gotta be fucking Usher, you gotta be everything at one time to different different people, you know? It's one of those things. I made a pact to myself, like, I gotta make this work or I'm gonna be homeless. So I had, 10, 20 years later, I'm still here. So it's one of those things I love.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business, learn something, laugh at something. On today's episode, we look at service through the eyes of a chef. But first, the intro.
Tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend Danny Davila.
What's up, what's up, what's up, people?
Today we have a guest, Chef Eduardo Espirito.
What's up, brother?
How you doing? How you doing?
What in the hell made you want to work in restaurants?
Weed.
Please explain.
So I was working at the bookstore in San Francisco in Berkeley, California. I got home one day, eat some ramen. You know, Asian people throw some a lot of shit in ramen. I threw some egg, threw some spam. I gave it to my cousin. Was winning with me. We smoking weed, and at the time there was a California Culinary Academy. Okay. And this guy said, like, Eddie, won't you do that? You know, you're good with food. You know, you can make something out of nothing. So I did, and you know, $80,000 in debt later, I became a chef.
Oh, oh, that's a lot of debt.
Well, it was only for 20, but so when I signed up for cooking, it was only technically about 25K, but okay. They didn't tell me at the time. At 2003, I was making $9 an hour as a cook.
Okay.
So I called them to, like, I can't make these payments. I got rent, I got gas, I got groceries. Stop the payments. I'm like, cool, I'll give you 2 years, but they didn't tell me that the interest would still be compounding as month
over those
years.
2 years. Yeah.
So those 20 became like 40, 60. I still know friends that still owes about 100K from a school that closed down 5 years ago.
Oh.
What is the hardest part about working in a restaurant?
The longevity, the training of your body. Because you're on feet. Like, my dumbass, when I start cooking, I wear freaking FUBU Timberland boots.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody... My feet was like hurting every day, and I don't know if you ever wore Timberlands in kitchens before, but I was slipping and sliding, I was walking, running in those things. It was harsh, but it's the 12 hours, the 8 hours. I had to work two jobs when I was a line cook, so gaining my body just to work 2 8-hour shifts in one day and waking up the 4 hours before you go to work, because I lived at the time in the East Bay of San Francisco, have to get up at 5 a.m. to take 2 buses, a BART, to get to the city and stay at an 8-hour shift.
That's the grind.
Correctly.
That's the grind, yeah.
It's the physical part that stands out first.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that I tell when I go to cooking schools like the CIA and the mom and pop cooking school, like my friends be saying, like, what do you want to tell them? I'm like, don't wear stupid ass Jordans. Don't wear Jordans. Don't wear Crocs. Get some $300 dance clothes or Birkenstocks. Save your feet and your hands. Those are the two things that are most important as a chef. You don't want to knock a pinky or stab your hand in a freaking splinter with the tickets, and take care of your feet.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. When I first started in the restaurant, I started out on the line, in the kitchen. And the thing that really struck me when I first started with my hands. My hands just felt like they were so swollen from constantly grabbing things.
Oh, you haven't worked. You haven't worked on a Chinese restaurant yet.
No.
My first corporate restaurant, when I got fired from my Italian restaurant job, I worked at PF Chang's. I got so intimidated because this is PF Chang's, like one of, at the time, 2004, it was the number two fast food casual dining joint.
Yeah.
Number one, I got intimidated because I walked in, I thought Chinese people were here. There's only one guy. But the rest was all Latinos and talking shit, and I didn't even know what the fuck they were saying. So I was just like, I was scared because 14,000 BTUs between your legs, and you know how to cook real quick.
Yes.
And so if you ever had a towel in the kitchen, imagine holding three towels, fold it up, and still got to hold the wok handle like this.
Oh, wow. Yes.
So do that for like 8 hours a day, sometimes 12. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, my hand would be stiff just like this.
Oh,
and
my God.
Literally had to like pry it off. And as you can see, my hands are always in that mode. It could never go straight. It has to be crooked.
You're in the claw mode.
Mm. Claw mode forever.
That's like some wide receiver hands right there.
Ronnie Law and stuff.
That's surprising to me. That detail of what the conditions of your hands would be. What else would we be surprised to know about being in a chef in a restaurant?
Oh, man. Three to second burns, just get ice water and just, you know, we don't go to the hospital. My hands are burnt from third degree, second degree burns, sugar burns, and still work at 12-hour shift.
Oh, my God.
Keep it moving.
Let's say this pinky toe, this pinky ring, sorry, ring finger. I was cutting duck on one time, and I didn't know how to properly sharpen a knife. So my boning at the time was sharp at the tip and dull in the back end. So as if you're ever butchered duck, it has a lot of cartilage. So I was forcing it. And I forced it so much that the tip of my blade went straight to the bone, down right there. And I didn't even notice it because it's so sharp, it just went straight in. And my chef told me, Eddie, you're bleeding. I'm like, oh, look at that shit. It's fucking in the bone. Like, what do you need? Two shots of Hennessy, some ibuprofen, and a splint. We're good. Oh. And I worked the whole day.
That's tough.
Well, I kind of had to. Well, I kind of had to. It was rather that or not paying rent. I can't lose an hour. I can't lose a day.
Because
it takes me about $8 a day just to get back and forth from where I live.
Okay. So you came in negative. You showed up to work negative.
Yeah. That's the thing. Because all the time, all my servers, they're like, you should be a server. We make about this much. I can't because my check is guaranteed when it's slow. I'm here for 8 hours. When it's slow, servers lose money when it's like raining or a monsoon or it's like the city shut down. Us cooks, we get the same paycheck, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. We get that no matter what. Slow days, you know that. But it's the cuts, the burns, it's working quick second and you don't know what you're doing. Next time you know, I cut this figure so many times in a mandolin, I'm still gotta go to work. I still press on. It's like, you know, I was grew up in that generation of cooks, that chefs now, that no matter what, you don't go to the hospital. You're sick, fuck that. Give me some NyQuil, drink a half a bottle of NyQuil, I'm at work tomorrow morning.
Oh my God.
before COVID, I get sick. I'm like on DayQuil, freaking whatever. I can get my over-the-counter drugs out of work, pounding Red Bulls and just trying to like be at that par and work. I can't miss because I was raised at that generation of cooks and chefs. Now it's crazy. My line cooks called off and they got a hangover.
How you calling sleepy?
Yeah. You know, chef, I can't come to work. I got a headache. I can't breathe. I got a stuffy nose. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Are you kidding me?
That's for sure a generational thing. I mean, not banging on anybody, but the level is different. They want this much right away from the start, and they're not giving it back. You know,
No.
It's interesting. And I'm curious to know what your view on service is. So what are some of the things that servers do that makes a chef's job more difficult?
Not knowing what to order. Okay. There is a TV show in Starz called Sweet Treats. I don't know if you ever seen that show yet, but there's a alpha server in that TV show. She's this tall, blonde, blue-eyed chick. It's a nice show. I have this one server right now that's constantly order bread, just like give bread to the table no matter what. As a server, you should know in and out the menu from appetizers all the way to desserts, what's in it. You can't come to me like, Chef, what's in here? What the fuck's the matter with you? It's 8 o'clock. I'm busy with tickets, and you're telling me the guest can't eat this and eat that? You should know what the menu is. They always ask me for a stupid question. Can I have the filet cut butterfly? Like, literally 3 weeks ago, I had a server wants two temperatures in an 8-ounce filet. It's like, can you do that?
Two temperatures?
Yeah. One temperature of the filet is bidwell, and the other temperature of the filet, butterfly, mind you, is a mid-rare.
That just blew my mind.
I'm confused. Like, one steak?
So 8-ounce filet, you get one filet. I have to butterfly it. So I have to butterfly it to the point of like a butterfly.
Yeah, yeah.
So this one has to be mid-well.
Oh,
This one had to be mid-rare. The old school of me would say, fuck, no, I'm not doing that. But that's what they want. We're a service industry. We provide whatever they want.
They would have had to buy two steaks in my spot, yo.
I pulled that off. I don't know how I pulled that off, but I pulled it off. So it was fun.
Everybody. You fucked up. Now these people are going to come back, and they're going to be like, we did it last time. I would be like, damn, Chef Ed. Now I got to be that server to go ask one steak, two temperatures. Good Lord.
That doesn't sound normal to me, yo.
He just wanted to show off.
This guy or this group of people wants three different temperatures. They want the filet mid-rare. The New York, mind you, is huge.
Yes.
So the New York, the top of the New York, they want mid-rare, medium. And the bottom of the New York, they want well done.
Oh, my God. Stop it. Stop it, man.
I can't right
that
now.
That is like, that's not, yo.
That's not a thing.
That's
not, I know that can't be a thing.
At $100, at $200 a table, at $200 a pop, I got to figure out how the fuck to do this. You know, so I got to figure out. So I did it. You know, I cut the New York, cut the top off, cooked the bottom off, cut the filet off the bone, and cooked that in the mid-rare. So everybody was happy.
I mean,
so you split up the steak, though, at least. You had three separate pieces on the grill.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I can deal with that.
I could deal with that.
I couldn't, when you said you butterfly the steak and had it medium rare, and the other side was medium well. So how did you even do that? You cooked the first part to medium or like rare, and then you just flip it back on its side and let the other side cook?
Basically, so we had a broiler grill. So the broiler of the grill at the front of my grill, I always keep it hot. So I butterflied it, cooked the one medium rare at medium rare. So I let the steak hang and keep the mid well right there cooked. So I keep I keep flipping it without getting it, you know, dark as well done. So I keep poking it. Fuck it, let's roll. Let's just fucking roll with this and see what happens. It's there.
Oh my God.
I don't even want to know how you can't sleep at night because you got some weird dreams, about.
No, it's my chef, my very first chef in a mom and pop restaurant always telling me, if you can't do it and you can function doing it and you know how to do it, if they want it, you must provide it, because it's like, you know, you're a service for food. You got to do whatever they want. At the time, now, I do whatever. If I can do it, I can. But 10 years ago, like, fuck no, this is stupid. What do you want to do? Cut an 8-ounce filet, one and one? No, fuck that. I'm not doing that. Peace out. I'm not doing that. Now I have to because, you know, it's the revenue is going down. The restaurant everywhere is, like, hitting, like, we're slow as we can right now. It's ridiculous, which is crazy.
Do you have a season? To clarify, you're in Napa.
Yeah.
And yeah, do you have a busy season and a slow season?
Right about now, we're entering our slow season, winter.
Okay.
Our busy season are from January, March, like mid-March all the way to like late October, Indian summer type of thing. But we get a lot of people from around the world, and don't get it twisted. Napa Valley, what you guys think of Napa Valley is not really Napa Valley. Napa Valley, you guys see on the books, are Yountville. It's Thomas Keller. Napa is it's like Orlando, basically.
Okay. Got you. That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Man, I was going to ask you.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
What would be a description of an unreasonable request? But you already gave it to
me. Yeah, we already started with unreasonable.
No, you cannot believe how many requests, like a chicken, can we debone a chicken? I'm like, can you tell us before we cook this or after we cooked it? You know, they want the chicken. You know, they want
their chicken deboned. So
yeah.
So why don't they just ask for like a breast?
Yeah, because our menu is like a half a chicken.
So oh.
At the time was a half a chicken.
Damn. See,
so take the bones out. That's where the server comes in. You know, would you like this deboned or whatever? Like, hey, chef, they want the debone. Can you debone the chicken before you cook it? That's
what
a lot.
What is going on in Cali, yo?
Yeah. It's a lot easier.
I'm not coming. So what do you like when you go out to dinner? What's a restaurant experience for you like when you go out to dinner?
DoorDash.
Okay.
After cooking the 6 days, 12 hours a week, I spent about $400 in DoorDash every 2 weeks.
Oh,
I don't cook. I don't clean like Cardi B said. I don't cook at all.
You don't want nothing to do with the restaurant.
I don't want. No. Why the fuck would I do my job at home? I'm like,
that's fair.
That is what I'm saying?
I cook only like during the holidays. If I'm with family members, I like to do that. But you know, when I'm home with my wife, I'm like, hey. Before DoorDash, I had a stack of Chinese restaurants in like San Francisco. Like doing delivery at that much, so like for Mexican, now it's just fucking DoorDash. Like, what do you want? Like, well, fuck it, just go.
Man.
But when I do go out, I go out with to my friends' restaurants, and they treat us like kings and all that. So when we do go out with my wife, it's who's working there? Let's go there. Let's go here. We make a contact. Hey, we sliding through. All right, cool, chef. We got it.
Nice.
It was good.
When you're on at the restaurant, which requests are hardest for you? Or, for instance, what's hardest, gluten-free, dairy-free, or vegan?
Vegan. Gluten-free is fine because we're prepared for that. We have gluten-free pasta. We have gluten-free bread. Everything gluten. Everything.
Okay.
We have all that ready. This goddamn fucking vegan. We are steakhouse. Why the fuck would you go to a goddamn steakhouse?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's like, give us a call. Like, we can make you a dish 24 hours ahead, but yes. Don't let me, like, you hear some rabbit food. Salad. Okay. What do you want? That's the best thing I can do in the last late notice.
I cook cows here.
Exactly. and what I hate now is just these people with the cards. Have you seen the cards?
Yes, yes.
Those absolutely. Cards, like I'm allergic to.
I can't have this? Yeah.
Yeah, I can't have this. This is just like, what do you want? Flour? I'm like, I don't know what do you want me to do? It's like 8 o'clock. I understand they have, like,
restrictions,
but let us know 24 hours ahead or 2 days ahead so we can make a dish for you. You know,
that's a good point.
You're driving an hour away or 45 minutes away to with your friends and have a good experience. And I want to give that experience to you, but if you come in here on a Friday, Saturday night with this little card and I'm knee deep of tickets and, you know, I can't do nothing about it.
Salad is
the best go-to, you know?
Yeah, especially if they know they're coming. Yeah, and if you're a vegan, just eat a salad. You went out, you know what you can and can't eat.
Nowadays, no. I blame Kevin fucking Hart, because Kevin Hart got, like, two vegan fast food restaurants in SoCal, and, like, they pop it. I'm like, last week I made an impossible meatloaf, and they didn't like it. I'm like, what the fuck do you want me to do? Yeah, it's impossible meat with tomato sauce with fake cheese. You can't go wrong with that. It's vegan chef, this is horrible. They don't want it. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, exactly. I know it's horrible. I would never eat it myself.
Speaking of not eating it itself, is there something that you cook that you absolutely crush that you just don't eat?
No, I'm pretty much, I like eating food. Because I grew up in the Philippines not eating at all. So I grew up in a generation like everything on the plate has to be gone no matter what. You know, I don't have leftovers. Because if I do leftovers, it's going in the trash. I eat everything. I eat weird stuff that all my friends and family don't eat, like the foie gras, the bone marrow, all that weird shit.
Okay.
So I like eating. Eating's like my drug sometimes, so.
Speaking of drugs, I have a multiple choice question for you. The walk-in cooler is used for A, storage of refrigerated food and produce before and after preparation.
Word.
B, cool off when it gets hot in the kitchen. C, to take a quick break and some time alone. D, all of the above.
All of the above. You forgot the last one too, smoking weed. In the walk-in.
Oh, they blow right to the fan.
There you go. See, my man Danny know about it. Yeah, my man Danny know about it. And if you're an expensive restaurant, you got a freezer. You go in the freezers and you puff, puff, and then nobody's gonna smell it because you know the other side of the walk-in.
Yeah.
So, yes. It's the far side of the walk-in.
You go deeper, yeah.
And for some reason, that cold, it moves. That air in there, it
moves. Yeah.
It evacuates quickly.
Just like, you know, Bourdain said in his book, you know, to put cocaine in a dry storage, weed, just ease it out in a walk-in, and let's go. Bring the rain.
Do you have, have you ever seen what's your favorite restaurant movie? Is there a restaurant movie that
I just had a talk. I just had a talk with my best friend about this. It's actually three. Old Stanley Tucci called The Big Night.
Yes.
We've seen that, yeah.
Yes, we reviewed that on the podcast once.
To me, like the most underrated restaurant movie of all the time. Because you have a brother that was willing to do anything to save the restaurant. You have the other brother who is so egotistical about his food that he doesn't see his restaurant is suffering.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's another one. Number two will be Danny Aiello. I forgot. It's Dinner Rush or Rush Time in New York City. His son was the executive chef. Yeah.
Yeah. We classic seen that one movie. Too. We did that one. Yeah, man.
And third but last list, probably Waiting.
Boom.
Oh, those, nice.
Those top three. Burnt, Chef, No Reservations. They're all horrible Chef movies. I mean, Chef, I was liking it, but you're making a movie out of fucking, you know, Cubanos. I'm like, there's nothing. Thomas Keller actually freaking was a consultant in that movie. Yes. But there was nothing about Chef about it. It was just like your ego, some, you know, listen, as a chef, I get all that things from Yelp review, like your food's horrible, the server is horrible. We get that. But that whole scene, I never understood about the, you know, the chocolate lava cake, you know, I never understood that scene because that's a classical dish that he went off and he went off on a reviewer and just became, food truck sensation and make a wonderful Cubano. I never understood that whole movie. With No Reservations, all kitchen movies. I think if all three of us get together, I think we make a better movie than all the movies out right now. That's what's missing.
That's what's missing. I think like we've reviewed from time to time restaurant movies, and the thing, maybe they don't set out to be a restaurant movie, but the thing that gives you the feel about the restaurant is the dynamic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What was that movie that we saw, Danny, that we watched, that it was done in one take? I mean, one day, basically.
Oh, yeah. The one camera.
Yeah, one camera shot.
That's
basically.
Was it an English movie?
Boiling Point.
I was watching that, too.
So the thing that struck me was how it was supposed to be an important night. It was like a weekend, and everybody was so chill. They had time to, like, I was like, no. I didn't get the feel of, like, man, this is, you know, I'm getting my butt handed to me. And then you go off in the corner, you might talk to your coworker a little bit. But while you're doing something, you're interacting like this. I didn't get that feel of interactions.
Oh, the true multitask, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. It was just a little too casual. And then the one with the big night was very close because they had, I think it was the hostess was banging the chef.
Yeah. The so flowers. It's like, no, it's the flowers.
The flowers. It was very real because those are the relationships that come out of restaurants, you know?
Yeah, trust me. I know. I had a couple of real shows. I had a couple of them. I banged a couple of servers in every restaurant I worked at.
We call those benefits.
Yeah. Hey man, restaurants, you can get any drug you want, crystal, cocaine, weed. You got liquor right there in the liquor room, so
absolutely. I mean, speaking of liquor, what is your favorite shift drink? The drink that just calms you down in between work and going home?
There's so much variation now. But right about now, I'm in my Japanese whiskey stage, so okay. Centauri. Centauri, when I get it, I'll tell one of my bartenders, hey, can I get my Centauri whiskey drink? But then it was red wine to take the ease off, to take the bar home, then Jameson, and then a mini adios motherfucker. They can make it on a busy night.
What's an adios motherfucker?
It's basically, it's a Bay Area version of Long Island Iced Tea, but more.
I was just about to say that.
But more potent than Long Island Iced Tea. So okay. It's all white drinks. Make you pass out on a train or a bus or wherever you're going.
Now you, everybody knows when you work in the restaurant, you work nights, you work weekends, you work holidays.
Mornings too. Don't forget mornings.
Yes, you work mornings. You work, well, you work all the time.
Yeah, I work in a hotel. It's a 24-hour status.
Yes. Okay. So how do you balance throughout the years your work life with when it comes to relationships, family, and things like that. Because help us.
Oh, that's a tough one. Well, the last 2 years has been beneficial. Before COVID, it was non-existent, because before COVID, it was just like work. There was no you work in the industry. There's no such thing as a work-life balance at all. Nothing, zero. Mm. You rather you're working or you're sleeping your days off, you know, because 2 days off, one of them you're going to be sleeping all day because you're working 12, 13 hours a day and your body's like, fuck you, you're sleeping.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Your second day off is where you do your adult things, laundry, shopping, clean the house, whatever. Okay. So going out, seeing family and friends, it's like going to a trip in Europe. Because you have to plan that motherfucker 6 months ahead.
Oh, wow.
We don't have the luxury as chefs or cooks, like, hey, let's do this and send it. Like, well, I can't because I have a big banquet got to do. Oh, I can't because I have 200 covers I got to deal in a restaurant. You know, so we have my wife is, it's like I told you guys, my wife is my boss and she's the executive chef. So both of us have to plan to go see family like 2-3 months ahead, and like no matter what, we're going to take this trip. We can't be in a whim and just go, because there's a lot of people that depend on us to do their job correctly. So
with that dynamic of you and your wife working together, and like you said, she's your executive chef, do you guys ever have a day off together? Because, you know, in my restaurant, our chef is, you know, the sous chef is there when the executive chef is gone, and
100%.
And likewise. Yeah.
No. we get a half a day together. Mostly morning time.
Okay.
And I think that's about it. And holidays, if we get the days off. But mostly, lately we don't, because I work the night shift and she works the mid shift sometimes.
Okay. So
I work from 11 to 11 and she works sometimes from 10 to 8 or 9 to 8. So. Mm-hmm.
All right, I have two before I let you go. The first thing is, what advice do you have for anyone who wants to come into the ranks of a restaurant as a back of a house? What advice do you have for them?
Don't be soft.
Okay.
Don't be soft. Don't. It's nowadays, it's like, it's hard because people like us went up the ranks of old school cooking. You know, trust me, I got called Chino my first day at my restaurant way back in the day. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what a Chino was, because, you know, working with a lot of Latinos, they got their own language, and I only learned English at the time. And don't be soft. Know what you're working with. Now, when I look at the other podcasts talking about being minority in an all white kitchen, dude, be a minority. Don't speak the language in an all Mexican or Latino crew. You know what I'm saying? Different. That's different. That's a different ballgame, because you're already fucked, because you got to find the alpha Latino and you have to be on his good side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't find that alpha Latino and you're on his bad side, your whole team's not going to hate you. Don't be soft. Learn your techniques. Go to school if you want to, but all the school is going to tell you the same thing. You're going to learn everything on the fly. Nobody does the flute anymore, or the turning potatoes, or the fluid or mushroom. Yeah, that's like the high-end 1% restaurant that Thomas Keller, 3-star Michelin. But we work right here in the bottom, in a turn and burn, see you later, 200 covers, revenue stream, we got to go.
Yeah.
Learn your basic mother sauces and just have a sense of like your body's gonna get beat up no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Learn how to handle your liquor. Most importantly, if you know it, smoke weed if you have to. Do not smoke too much that you cannot control when you're working. Because I have many line cooks that will smoke so much weed and is like retarded at work.
Learn how to function while doing your job.
Exactly.
Boom.
You know.
All right, I have one more for you, and it's going to be a rapid fire, okay?
Okay.
I'll just put out a description, and you rate it from 1 to 10.
So okay.
1 to 10, chefs are cocky.
10.
Insecure.
10.
They can suffer from depression.
Man, all the time. 10.
Insomniacs.
Man, 18 cups of coffee and 400 Red Bulls. Yeah, 10.
Alcoholics.
Yeah, 10.
Use drugs.
Yeah, 10.
Angry.
Microaggression. Fuck yeah, 10.
Stressed out.
All the time. 10.
Perfectionist.
Yes, 10.
Arrogant.
Yes, 10.
Creative.
Yes, 10.
Organized.
Yes, 10.
Passionate.
Very much so. You got to. This industry, 10.
And the best friend anyone could ever have.
Yeah, pretty much, 10.
He was all the way through the board. That is what we are.
you kind of have to. You gotta be Picasso. You gotta be P. Diddy. You gotta be fucking Usher. You gotta be everything at one time to different people. You know, it's one of those things. I made a pact to myself, like, I gotta make this work or I'm gonna be homeless. So I had 10-20 years later, I'm still here. So it's one of those things I love.
We're really grateful for your time, Chef.
No problem. Thank you.
Well, thank you once again. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter. We do this for you each and every week.
I'm Danny Villan. Subscribe, people.
We'll see you next time.
Later. The kind of voice speaks with melodic flow as the beat goes clap. Who the hell can stop that? Initiated, wake up with your head.